would rather regurgitate what each other is saying. But God will have the final word, friends. He will. It's time for America and Americans to get their house in order. It begins right by repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It begins by acknowledging our sin before God. It begins by acknowledging our own participation in the current situation and being willing to do something about it. Things are happening very quickly. I want to urge you to get a copy of a book. We have interviewed its author, Larry Bates, A Nation in Crisis, The Meltdown of Money, Government, and Religion, How to Prepare for the Coming Crisis. Your gift of $23 or more to Save America Ministries will put this hardbound book in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, A Nation in Crisis. We'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless you, and pray, pray, pray. Let's get involved. Let's do something.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. It happens to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of one of my favorite people, Gary Kaw. And Gary's been at this game for a good long while. He's done some wonderful work. And his ministry and his message is very, very similar to the way I look at the world. He puts out a wonderful newsletter. Get it every month. Look forward to it. And I want to get Gary's view of what's going on in the Middle East and the Near East today. Gary Kaw, thank you so very much for being with us.
Hi, Stan. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, we haven't talked in a good long while, but I keep track of you through your newsletter and always enjoy it. We are living in the most exciting times. I want your take on what's going on in the Middle East and the Near East.
Wow, where to begin? The year's sure getting off with a bang, isn't it? I mean, 2 months ago, who would have thought so much would happen so quickly? Well, for one thing, today, just in the last 12 to 18 hours, Iran is sailing two warships through the Red Sea trying to go through the Suez Canal. Now, whether or not they're going to be allowed to go through, we'll see. But if they do and get into the Mediterranean, Israel will probably see that as a direct threat to them. It's not known for certain. Some people do believe that Iran already has the nuclear weapon. Others believe, no, they're a year or two away from it. But if they do or they don't, sailing two warships for Syria right past Israel is provoking. And this happens just days after Mubarak steps down, and so apparently Iran senses this freedom to do that. So all the mechanics in the Middle East right now are in limbo and are changing. And Egypt, of course, as everybody knows by now, is the most populated Arab country in the Middle East, very important historically. And but the way things are shaping up, you've got the Muslim Brotherhood that about 30% of the Egyptian public is pretty supportive of, and they're highly organized. And then you have Mohammed el-Baradei, who has been brought to the forefront as kind of the main leader, potential leader of the opposition. He ended up being in Cairo about 2 days after the protests began, And most people don't know who this guy is. But he has been on the board of directors of an organization called the International Crisis Group, ICG.
Oh, you mean George Soros' group?
Yeah.
Boy, go up on the Internet and type in International Crisis Group, and you'll see a who's who of the Brotherhood of Darkness, you know, who finances it, Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, Bill and Melissa Gates, etc. You know, all the usual suspects, George Soros. Go right ahead. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's the same old one-world group. George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Javier Solana of the European Union. And there is Mohamed El-Baradei on the board with them. That is, he was until just days ago when he stepped down in order to go to Egypt. So he's now officially a former board member. But still, he's tied in with that group that's very pro-world government. So between him and the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, I feel sorry for the people of Egypt that truly want their freedoms and don't realize what they might be getting instead. But it's going to be a very critical time here over the next couple months in Egypt.
Well, I agree with you. I believe, of course, things are not perfect in Egypt. I think that there have been often these problems. An average person lived on $2 a day. But things were bad. Many people think they couldn't get worse. I think I can almost assure you they're going to get a lot worse. I think we're heading into terrible times for the Muslim people and for the Jewish people. Yes, and for the American people, because I do believe God brings his judgments on nations that turn against God.
Yes.
Gary, pick up the story.
All right.
No, don't be bashful. Go right ahead.
Okay. I thought we had just gone into break there. I'm
no,
sorry.
No,
and I just wanted to make sure we were all right.
We have a number of different stations, and some stations drop us during the break, and other stations carry us, so they're carrying us now, and we want to just go right ahead.
Fantastic.
If you have to stop, I'll let you know, but you're
all
doing
right.
A great job, and we want to hear what you have to say.
All right. Well, I was going to continue by saying that Mubarak, who we know was not a perfect guy, and he was corrupt. Most of the Middle East figures are, but there was a degree of stability with him. And for some reason, in the overall scheme of things, it's very clear that he had to be brought down because he did not fit into the global effort.
But were they bringing down all of the nations over there? This is the amazing
thing.
It's not if it was just one, but I've never seen in all the 49 years I've been following this anything as dramatic as is taking place today.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And you can't say that it's all just social networking. There's something that has caused the social networking people to do what they are doing. There is a hand moving this. And I've been telling friends the last few days to be looking out for two different things over the coming months. Number one, the new administration that emerges in Egypt and elsewhere, what will their stance be on Israel? Are they willing to deal with Israel, or are they going to be openly hateful toward Israel? And secondly, how will these changes play into the overall movement toward global government? And I believe what we will see is either or both of those, that you're going to see a big step in the direction of global government through these changes taking place in the Middle East, and also increasing tensions with Israel. And it's setting the stage, I believe, for a coming world leader who's going to proclaim to have all the answers to the world's problems. And you can just see the stage being set. If people think the world is on the brink of destroying itself, if they believe that global warming or climate crisis is for real and we're all going to destroy ourselves unless something's done about that, and if there appear to be no viable solutions for the emerging global economic crisis, those three problems alone, if somebody can step on the scene and appear to have the answers to them, most people are going to throw their hats into the ring, unfortunately. And I think here in the United States, that has been holding out on the New World Order. The economic crisis, by and large, is being used as blackmail.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Gary saying that he thinks that basically there's going to be a chaotic situation, and people are going to be looking for somebody who has the solutions, and of course there will be a fellow who does have the solutions to the problems of political instability. the problems of global warming, because it's all fraudulent. But and then, of course, the economic crisis, which is not going away. In fact, it's going to get, I believe, it's going to get very much worse here. Sydney, we're talking about this year, $1.6 trillion deficit. Next year, they'll acknowledge $1 trillion deficit. But what happens if the economy begins to collapse? And they've got to come up with quantitative easing, perhaps another couple of trillion dollars or half a trillion dollars. Basically, they have not solved anything economically. So Gary is basically saying, if somebody comes and says, I can solve all your problems, trust me. Why people may, even here in America, be willing to forego liberty, to forego the Constitution, and follow this world leader. Pick up the story.
Yeah, all in the name of saving the planet. Right now, there are several dozen, in fact, a few statistics will put it close to 100 cities and states around the United States that are on the brink of bankruptcy. And I think any time from probably the second half of this year and then going out a couple years from there, that chain could begin to collapse. It depends on if there's any recovery at all with the economy to help drag things out a little bit, or if the recovery doesn't take place. If we only get another 1% people employed, it's not going to be enough of a tax base to avert this crisis. So it's looming and it's there. And it could be bigger than the housing bubble when it burst.
And, of course, the other thing I'm concerned about is inflation, or at least I'm not talking about runaway inflation, but you get a 10-20% inflation rate. This is going to devastate people. It's going to devastate people on a fixed income. It's going to devastate people who are holding bonds, who are holding annuities or pension funds. This is the thing, and everything points in the fact that we are moving into inflation. Why do I believe that? Because Ben Bernanke says it's not going to happen. And we know, of course, if you listen to Ben Bernanke, why, of course, well, here's a guy who totally missed the 2008 crisis, and yet he says, I'm 100% sure we won't have inflation. Just trust me. Go ahead.
Now imagine if the situation gets twice as bad as it is now, and you have unemployment possibly 13-15% or more. Of course, it already is somewhere between 17 and 20, the real unemployment rate in the United States, because so many people are no longer on the government's unemployment statistics because they've gone more than 99 weeks unemployed and their unemployment benefits have run out. In fact, 1.5 million people fit into that category now called the 99ers. But anyway, if you have a situation that gets even worse than it is right now, to the point where so many people are unemployed and our country is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy, and states and municipal governments are bankrupt and they don't know what to do. People don't want to pay any more taxes. And then you have some type of proposal involving globalization, a system of global government, and the key figures in this try to strike a deal and say, we'll tell you what, we're going to a whole new currency system and we'll cancel some or all of your debt if you come into the system with us. And, of course, there would be a catch. We would give up a lot of our freedoms and national sovereignty. But I personally believe that's where things are going, and that's how they might try to bring it about, because I think we've deliberately been led into this situation so that we, the people of America, feel like we have our backs to the wall and there's no way out, and so we have to step forward into this global government. Either that or our standard of living be cut in less than half. And if we took that approach, if we decided to stay free, we're not going to go in the New World Order, we might be able to keep our freedoms, but for the next 30 years or so down the road, we'd be paying a huge price because all this debt that has to be paid back. And I don't think a majority of the American people are going to be willing to go along with that, given how spoiled we are and the kind of standard of living we're used to. And so a trap has been laid for us. And the thing is, Stan, and you and I, we both know this, eventually the time's going to come. You're going to have the New World Order. You're going to have a ruler over it. The Bible makes clear those days are going to come. And so as Christians, and as a Christian, I'm always asking the question, how do I look at this? What do I do? Yes, it's important to be informed. We want to see what's going on. We don't want to be deceived and step into any traps. But if ultimately this takes place, what does it mean for me as a Christian? What should I be doing right now? And I think for anyone who's listening, who is a believer, this is the moment to take a stand and to share the gospel in a creative way. When you look at all the signs of the time swirling around us, it is easier, in my opinion, to believe right now in the truth of the gospel. When you look at all the Bible prophecies that are either being fulfilled or right on the verge of being fulfilled, it's easier to have faith right now in the Lord and in the Bible than any time I know of in history. People have to just completely want to deny the truth and look the other way. And many will do that. But I think there is a remnant out there who's willing to listen and is willing to accept Christ as Savior and secure their eternity, so that no matter what happens here, we know that in eternity we're going to be with Christ. And also on this side of eternity, just the benefits that come from serving Christ and living an upright life. It gives you stability and confidence even in the darkest days. That I feel sorry for people that have no hope out there. That take a look at what's going on in the world around them, and a lot of people think the end is near, and we're all going to be destroyed. That there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. The whole world's going to be wiped out. There are all kinds of fears. People are fearful of all kinds of things, and the only way to have peace is by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and trusting Him, that He paid the penalty on the cross for our sins, that we have eternal life through Him. And that's what we need to be getting out and using these signs of the times and all the things that are taking place to present that message in a truthful and creative way.
I agree with you. If the Bible is not true, then we have no hope.
That's right.
I believe the Bible is true, and we have hope, and we have all sorts of hope. And what a wonderful time to know the Lord. This is the thing. And basically, I think that as things get worse, and they are one thing I can say for certain, I don't know exactly what's happened, but I'm firmly convinced things are going to get a lot worse. And it's at times like this, people are going to be looking for answers, and you will be there, and hopefully I will be here, or somebody else, some of the people that we've listened to our program and understand. We'll be there to get the information out. You know, there are a lot of young people doing talk radio programs. Maybe they don't have 30 or 40 radio stations, but they have one or two radio stations, and they're reaching people. And I talk to these people, and they understand what's happening, and they are getting your message out, my message out. It's the same message. Christ died for the sins of mankind, for my sins, and the only hope of mankind is not politically, certainly not in changing the culture. The faith is more and more people giving their lives to our Lord. Go right ahead, Gary.
That's right. And, a key word in all of this that many people don't want to hear of, and including many professing Christians, and it's the word repent. When you study history, you see what has happened to empires and nations when they've wandered away from God and have become extremely immoral and lose their moral compass. Unless they repent, eventually those countries come down, with no exception. And it's going to be the same way in America, unless there's a massive repentance on the scale of Nineveh. And I do believe God is powerful enough and willing enough that if our nation truly turned around in that way and came back to Him and repented of our sins, as individuals, that maybe he would give us some more time. I know he did that with Nineveh, and that's not a popular thing because in America today, we are a very impatient, consumer-oriented people. We want what we want when we want it. It doesn't matter what it is. Some people want to keep our freedoms, yes, but if truth be told, only so they can keep on sinning, but not to serve Christ, our Creator, and to glorify Him. And so the motives that we have, and God searches the hearts of men. And when you look at where we've come from say the early to mid 1800s to where we are now, many of our early founding fathers, they turn over in their graves. In fact, even somebody who would have been alive in the 40s or 50s and died and now suddenly would be brought back and to look at where things are today, they'd think, my goodness, how can this be? And I think we become so conditioned to it because changes have taken place so rapidly that nothing surprises us anymore. And I think that's really key in our country, is are the people willing to repent on a large scale? And if not, then our days are definitely numbered. And I think even if we would have the opportunity to be on this program together 5 years from now, we would be just amazed to see changes that will have taken place between now and then. So I remember, Stan, a few years back, my daughter and I were in Ukraine, and we were part of a summer camp over there for orphan children. The government allowed the orphans to have a couple weeks of vacation at a camp, and we were able to go over there. And we couldn't force them to come to an evening service, but those who wanted to come could come, and we could present the gospel and share with them. And in Ukraine, the Christians over there, they don't ask other Christians when they got saved or accepted Christ. They say, when did you repent? To them, it began with repentance. And I thought, that's really neat. That's a different way of looking at it, and I wish it was the same way in America.
Well, all we can do is try, and with the voice that we have, people have to understand that if we're going to save America, it's going to be one person at a time, and it has to start with us. It has to start with us. And after, of course, we've repented and turned our life over to the Lord and let Him lead it for us and direct us, after that, of course, we can really be effective in this age-old struggle for the survival of Western civilization. Go right ahead, Gary.
Yes, I agree with you completely. I feel that the United States and also the independent people of Israel,
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
AAA 24 Liberty or 464-8295. But Gary certainly is on the front lines of this battle for many years, puts out a wonderful newsletter, and we'll tell you a little later how to get that. But I think we're going to see the progressive deterioration of the financial structure here in this country. And, of course, people, the materialism is so important. I mean, we have lived in a truly utopian society. I mean, nobody went without here. If you didn't have money, you could get food stamps, you get free medical care, you get your subsidy, housing subsidy. We even get oil, money to buy oil, heating oil. A government could provide something for everybody. And basically, of course, what they've been doing is carrying out the Cloward Pivot story of spending America into bankruptcy. I laid out an article in Nation magazine back in 1966. And Cloward and Pivot said, we can destroy America simply now by spending America into oblivion. And that's exactly what they have done. There is no way out today. 40 to 43 cents of every dollar the federal government is spending has to be borrowed. Does anybody really think we can get out of debt by borrowing more money? Does anybody really think we can continue borrowing money and one day the whole house of cards isn't coming down? Go right ahead, Gary. I'd like to get your thoughts. But the biggest thing is, people have to understand that this country has turned against God. And I don't think there's any instance in history where a nation has turned against God that God has not eventually brought his judgment on that nation.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. I'll comment first just a little bit more on the economy, and then I want to switch over to the religion side of things. Right now, there are fewer than 12 million Americans working in manufacturing. And the last time that there were less than 12 million Americans employed in the manufacturing sector was around the year 1940. And so along with the increasing debt, one of the reasons for that, too, has been the deterioration of the manufacturing base. And that has caused all kinds of problems. And in addition, as a result of that, China is coming on so strong. At the current rate that they are increasing and we're decreasing, their economy will be three times larger than ours by the year 2040, within just one generation. So you're talking about a major global shift that's underway. This year, 2011, China is expected to exceed the United States as the global leader in patent filings. So they're becoming more creative and inventive as well. And so the United States has gone from being the global leader to now being overshadowed increasingly. And even in the area of education, we're, down number 15 or 20 and sinking rapidly. But all that began in a major way in the 1960s when we began to reject God. You can go right back and look at the decisions that were made and embraced by the people in the 1960s, and that's when it began. And something else that's interesting about all that is at one point during the 60s, and I remember I was shocked when I learned about this when I was doing my research for En Route to Global Occupation. At one point, 8 out of the 9 Supreme Court justices in the United States were Freemasons, including Earl Warren, who was the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of California at the time. And so you have And again, there are many people in Freemasonry who I believe have no clue what the organization ultimately is about. But if you track the history of it going back into the ancient mystery religions and where the writings of Freemasonry itself claim that they have their roots, it goes all the way back to Babylon. This isn't me saying it. This is actually said in the writings of Albert Pike and Albert Mackey. And I've read the books. I have them. And that's been a big part of it. And then laying the foundation for the New Age movement. Alice Bailey and Blavatsky and a lot of these early New Agers were very strongly influenced by Freemasonry and Eastern mysticism and the ancient mystery religions. And so that has laid this groundwork that today is causing this religious shift in America that, like I said, began in a major way to go public in the 60s, but it goes back much further than that.
And I really think people have to understand the ancient mystery religions. One of their goals was this world government. They have been working for thousands of years through secret societies to bring about a one world government. Mandy P. Hall refers to it as a series of democratic societies. That's why everybody talks about democracy, 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 knowing, of course, it's going to lead to a world dictatorship under the coming world leader. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, I guess Gary Kaw, and of course we're talking about what's really going on in America. And of course what we're really seeing is a massive spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And most people believe that the battle is between the Republicans and the Democrats. Well, it's all very convenient to believe it that way, but that's not what the battle is. And then, well, it's the culture between capitalism and communism and freedom and slavery. And, I mean, who wants slavery? And this is a spiritual battle. And until this people recognize that, until people recognize that the reason that the Masons took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools is because the leaders of Masonry worship a different God. And basically, once you understand that the root cause of everything going on today is a conspiracy against God, suddenly it begins to make sense. And that's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That's why Barack Obama canceled the National Day of Prayer last year, or tried to, and that's why he wanted to cover up the Christian cross on the stage there when he spoke at George Washington, Georgetown University there in Washington, D.C. And that is why, of course, he had no hesitation supporting the Muslim Day of Prayer and praying at the Muslim Day of Prayer, but he would not pray at the Christian Day of Prayer. We'd go to the Christian prayer breakfast, but that's put on by members of an organization known as the Family, which is about as far away from Christian as you can possibly imagine. But people don't understand. Most people have never even heard of the Family that puts on the prayer breakfast every year. Not Christian prayer breakfast, just prayer breakfast. And the president always goes and speaks, and of course Barack Obama goes and speaks and professes his faith. And even concludes his lectures with "May God bless America." Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Gary Call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Gary. But before we go on, Gary, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry and get your newsletter.
Yes, you can go to our website, which is garycaw.org, and that is spelled GaryKah.org. And we just posted an article recently called In Need of a Savior, talking about some of these very things that are going on around the world and how things are shaping up and setting the stage for someone to step in. And I came up with that title facetiously because, of course, we know we have a Savior in Christ, but the world is looking for a Savior because they've rejected Christ, and they want a different Savior, and I think the stage is being set for that. But I encourage people to go to our website, and you'll be able to listen to some other talk shows I've done there, and also get any of our materials. And if you're interested in receiving our newsletter, you can subscribe to it there as well. Stan, since we've been talking about religion, you know, what came to mind is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul was talking about the secret power of lawlessness that is already at work. You know, Satan has been active right from day one, from the beginning, and his goal all along has been to enslave mankind and to rise to the top, because he lost his position as a result of rebelling against God as Lucifer, and he's trying to gain back that power and gain the worship of man, and the only way really to be able to do that in a concrete way is to get the entire world together under one system and then somehow force people or delude them into giving him the reins and worshiping him. And if people understand that, and to some people that may seem simplistic, that ultimately everything taking place politically, economically, and spiritually is moving in that direction. But that is the bottom line, and it's the truth. And here's just one more example of how we're moving in that direction, and this is from last week. On February 6th through the 12th, the UN held its World Interfaith Harmony Week. This was a global undertaking, and it was really spawned as a result of something that took place last fall. On October 20th of last year, the UN passed a resolution establishing an Interfaith Harmony Week that was to be celebrated during the first full week of February, and I believe this is going to be an annual event now. The initiative, which was kick-started by Jordan's King Abdullah and Prince Ghazi, was founded on prior UN interfaith activities and the Common Word Program. The Common Word Program is a Muslim call to bridge building with the Christian community, trying to get the two religions together. If there's going to be a one-world government, there's got to be a coming together of the world religions as well, either a world religion or a community of religions, if you will, and they're really working hard in that area, especially trying to get Christianity and Islam together. Now, in response to this Common Word program, Christian leaders responded with a document calling for greater connections with Islam and equated the God of the Old and New Testaments with the Quran. Signers to this Christian response titled Loving God and Neighbor Together included Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, and Jim Wallace, among others. Leaders from many seminaries and Christian-based organizations also signed, including members of the National Association of Evangelicals, World Vision, and the Mennonite Central Committee. Now, a Prince Ghazi speech announcing this Harmony Week included recognition of the interfaith role of the Second Vatican Council. Ghazi's speech also included the UN resolution and called on, and I'm quoting, called on churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, and other places of worship to engage in interfaith cooperation for world peace. So we see how these various world religions and certain leaders of these religions are increasingly cooperating with each other. And Tony Blair is at the forefront of this. He's created Tony Blair Faith Foundation that's completely dedicated to uniting the world's religions, in his own words. He's speaking at Rick Warren's church. I don't know if it's already passed. I think it's next week. And also, I know he spoke at Willow Creek at a special conference they had a year ago this last August. We followed on up on that to verify that that did, in fact, take place, and it did. So you've got large mega churches providing a platform for Tony Blair and people like him to come in and talk about their interfaith programs and agendas, all of it in the name of world peace and bringing about world peace and cooperation between the religions. So this is very far along. This has come into the heart of evangelical Christianity now, and that's why Christians have to be very discerning now. We have to split hairs a little bit. We can't just say that everybody who claims to be a Christian really is. I'm convinced Satan himself will say he's a Christian if people will follow him and go along with other deceptions he presents later on. We can't just assume that everyone who calls himself a Christian is. And, of course, we know in the Gospels, Jesus said that there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this or that in your name? And he will say, away from me, I never knew you. And it's not a pleasant thought, because in this country where we've become soft Christians, so to speak, a lot of people think 70-80% of Americans are Christians. But ask yourself, if that's really the case, we'd be in the middle of the biggest revival known of mankind, and we would be a prosperous nation, and we wouldn't have a lot of these problems that we have right now. But when you have maybe 10% true Christians or something on that order, and maybe only another 20% that are truly open to the Christian ethic, then you have the problems that we have now today after a generation of turning our backs against God as a nation. And so we have to wake up, and the clock is ticking. It has to be soon. Christians have to become more discerning. We have to repent. We have to stop living like the world and be separate from the world. We have to be in the world but not of the world. And the only way to do that is to maintain a very close personal walk with the Lord every day and really abide in him. That's an interesting word, the concept of abiding with the Lord and in him. That doesn't mean just saying a short 30-second prayer in the morning and then that's it and we don't think about the Lord the rest of the day. It means walking with him and fellowship with him. And that should be our daily goal, and it is a challenge. But with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God can give us the power to be overcomers in that area. And I think that's what it's all about. God is looking for people to step up to the plate and be overcomers in these last days and be sold out completely to him and be willing to do what he calls them to do without being embarrassed or bashful or unwilling. He's looking for willing people who are willing to carry the banner. And Lord, I thank the Lord for people like Stan and some of the other talk show hosts around the country who some of them have been on the air for years and are willing to give a platform to people like me to share this message. And we're not alone, Stan. There are people out there. It's just we're a remnant.
Well, that's exactly true, but at least I believe the number of people on the radio is growing, and if it's not radio, it's internet, Sydney, and Sydney, we've got some great internet sites that are already getting great information out. I think that WorldNet Daily is doing a good job.
They are. And they do an excellent job.
And Sydney, newswithviews.com is doing a great job, Paul Walters, you know how important these are when AOL puts out $315 million for the Huffington Post. Now it's a liberal website, but it was because they were having an influence and influencing people, and they want to control everything. They've made overtures to purchase bribe Alex Jones, and Alex Jones said, no way. Jesse Ventura, not coming necessarily from a Christian point of view, but I think he's a patriot. MSNBC gave him a contract. I don't know how many millions of dollars, but he was going to be doing a program for MSNBC. They gave him a $2 million retainer, and he went there to get his programs. And they said, of course, you can't talk about banking and the Fed and these things. And he said, I'm out of here, and he kept the $2 million. I mean, I know Daniel Estulin wrote a book about the Bilderbergers. Mm-hmm. He tells the story of actually being approached by two men who told him that he really should seriously think, stop writing about the Bilderbergers. They gave him a check, but there was no amount there. And he said, well, it's a check, but there's no amount of money. And they said, you just fill it in, whatever sum of money you want. Well, according to Daniel Estulin, he turned them down. But Adriana Huffington didn't turn them down. She turned her website over to them. Those websites, WorldNet Daily, News Reviews, think what those are worth. I don't think either Joseph Fair or Paul Walters are going to give them up. They haven't offered me $1 million for Radio Liberty yet. I know they've offered Alex Jones a great deal of money, and he turned them down. I will turn them down, too, so although we certainly in that league. But exciting things are happening. The other side is worried when they're willing to put out that amount of money, $315 million for a website that had a lot of hits on it, does a pretty good job. It published some interesting articles. It was very liberal. On the other hand, they cannot stand the truth getting out, and people are learning the truth. U.S. News and World Report is closed down. More and more of the magazines are closing down. People are turning to alternative means of communication. They know that they've been lied to. They're looking for the truth. And, of course, through Gary's ministry and the other ministries we've talked about, and the small ministries, small radio ministries all across America and small websites, there's a growing awareness of the spiritual nature of what's going on. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, would like to have a question for Gary, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I've been at this, I'm entering the 49th year. And I will tell you, I'm more optimistic than I've ever been before. Are we going to win? I don't know. That's up to God. But I do know there's an increasing awareness, and there is this growing number of people. And hardly a day goes by or a week goes by when somebody doesn't send me an email and say, you know, your ministry has changed my life, and I've come to know the Lord. That's what it's really all about, and I hope that there's a lot of people that have had that experience, and I just haven't said anything about it. I think a lot of people are a little embarrassed, but we know we're teaching, reaching people, and Gary is reaching people, and they're all reaching people. What a wonderful time to know the Lord, and we're all going to have to depend on Him during the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. Well, Gary, Sidney, one of the interesting things about your newsletter, you list all of these various international meetings. And so many of them, of course, center around religion. And when you see certainly the nation's leading minister, the man appointed, knighted by Time magazine as America's minister, Rick Warren, certainly associated with these various movements, you know it's bad because Time magazine's part and parcel of this. And they're trying, of course, through the purpose-driven church and these other things, to introduce into the Christian church, to the National Association of Evangelicals, all of these organizations trying to introduce these internationalist ideas. And if we could just all get together and love one another, wouldn't it be wonderful? But of course, what we have to do, you could not make common cause with the Muslims, even though much of what they say morally may be right. Why, of course, they worship a different God. We go right ahead.
Yeah, this is really where the battle's being fought now here in the United States, is in the area of interfaithism, trying to get Christians to open up to other religions and not being so narrow-minded, quote-unquote. In the month of February alone, there are five major interfaith meetings taking place, four of them aimed specifically at the United States, the other one global. And this is pretty much the trend throughout the year. And if people do have our winter issue, we have a global calendar of events in the middle of that issue that outlines all the major one-world meetings coming up this year that we are aware of, and we'll be talking about others as we learn of them throughout the year. And so many of them now have to do with religion. Yeah, I've said for years, religion drives politics, not the other way around. Politicians have religious beliefs, they have world views, and that determines how they vote, what they do. That and money, and those that control a lot of the money, they have religious views. They're involved in the occult and Eastern mysticism, and so it's the same thing, and that's why things are going in this direction. So the real challenge for us is again, to be aware of this, not to be overcome by it, but to be aware of it, make sure that we ourselves are not deceived by these false teachings. And, of course, the Bible warns us that it would be like this in the last days. Paul, in his writings to Timothy and 1 Timothy chapter 4 and also 2 Timothy chapter 4, talks about the increasing deception in the last days and how men would be unwilling to endure sound doctrine. And we're certainly seeing that in our day and age. Stan, I wanted to point out on our website at GaryCaw.org, we have a DVD mentioned on there called Shadow Government. I don't know if you've seen that or not or heard about it.
Well, that's the one with certainly with Catherine Albrecht in it. And
and Daniel Estlin was in it.
Right, and Gary Cole.
And I was
in
that too, right. Yeah, I was one of 10 or 12 people in that. Cloud 10 Pictures put that together, and it has been just an outstanding witnessing tool for people. It's something that a lot of folks have given to non-Christian friends or even some that are not open at all to the gospel. And it's really been a tool to wake them up, and they did a masterful job with it. They really did. Cloud 10 Pictures, I applaud them. But the plan of salvation is presented toward the end, and so it comes full cycle. But it talks about some things going on today, and the direction we're moving in, and also the technology, the emerging technologies that are being used to bring all of this about. And so I just wanted to encourage people on that front too to consider getting that DVD and. And then after watching it, just passing it around to friends, just ask back for it or else you won't get it back. It'll keep going.
It's a very, very good DVD, and we've certainly seen it. We offer it, and I think Gary offers it as well. Do you offer it through your ministry?
Yes, we do.
All right,
yeah,
fine.
It's
so
available through our website.
It doesn't matter where you get it. Get it, watch it, and then circulate it, because it goes into all of the various means through Project Echelon, by which they are monitoring you. And basically, we just learned that every person in Mexico will soon have an RFID identification card. They're in the process of issuing them to all 1.2 billion people. 1.2 billion people in India. Pretty soon, we will be in a situation where no one will buy or sell unless they wear the mark of the beast to be known by the number of his name. Well, Gary, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Well, how to wrap it up? What do we say after everything we talked about? People listening, either they're largely in agreement with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
How many Jewish people have had a vision or some sort of a visitation from Christ, and he has told them to become Christians? And this is happening to many people who are Muslims. And their God is working, I think, increasingly at this time in history, more and more at a supernatural level. I do believe that these people have a choice, and hopefully, I know many of them have actually become Christians. We are living in an exciting time. Now, you need means of reaching people. If you start right in, of course, you can talk about the Lord. If you're good at it, other times, maybe you can use something like the DVD, The Shadow Government. One I really think is very effective is the real, try to get convince people. There are treatments for cancer that are being suppressed. We have the DVD, Cancer Forbidden Cures. Why is that significant? Why? Very simply, because everybody knows somebody who's died a slow, agonizing death for cancer and, of course, fought bravely but died. And the thought that there are treatments that are being suppressed and they're being allowed to die makes people realize, of course, that there must be something evil in the world. If they don't realize evil, perhaps they'll accept the thesis of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which is that what we're involved in is a spiritual battle, and perhaps they'll begin looking for the counter, which is the fact that the Lord is there, and hopefully they'll listen to my program or some other program, and they'll get down on their knees and ask God to come into their life, because that's what it's really all about, is saving souls one at a time. And you're going to have to learn how to witness people, and you can do it as I do, or you can just tell people about the gospel and the good news that Christ died for their sin, and they can have eternal salvation, but they're going to have to make the decision. Certainly, our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD, Shadow Government, the DVD, Cancer Forbidden Cures, the one on certainly on what in the world are they spraying? All excellent weapons in this spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. Of course, you can get my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, on DVD or on tape. You can get the book, the DVD, and the tape, and listen to it a number of times. Be able to quote the quotations and then be able to express them to others. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And go there and suddenly go down the various sections we have, read the newsletters, watch the DVDs. They're all free. And suddenly then, of course, listen to the radio programs. Encourage others to listen to the radio programs. And try to get them to understand that behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces, supernatural forces. If you haven't yet seen my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. And after you've seen that DVD and or gone over the syllabus, you certainly wouldn't want to get the syllabus without the DVD. But the syllabus will help you to verify what the DVD says. You want to hear my talk on the dark secret. Now, that's a different talk, Forbidden Secret, and it's different than the Brotherhood of Darkness. The dark secret, where we take you into the supernatural. We take you into the supernatural. And once you begin to understand what we're really up against, hopefully you, if you're not already giving your life to our Lord, you will. Because there is a supernatural realm. It's out there. That's the subject of the DVD, The Watchers, where you'll actually see the alien implants that have been put in people. That's the Watchers DVD. It goes into UFOs, cattle mutilations. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, to us from over in Israel, we have Avi Lifkin. It's the morning over there. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow morning in Israel. And Avi is with us and going to bring us up to date on what he sees taking place over there and from an Israeli point of view. And, of course, these are dangerous times for people living in Israel, dangerous times for people living in the Middle East, and basically most Muslims certainly, they don't want to be involved in a war. They want peace and freedom and democracy, but there's no culture of that over there. And what they don't understand is this whole revolutionary movement that is sweeping the Muslim world is all carefully, in my estimation, engineered. It has nothing to do with freedom, has nothing to do with democracy. It has everything to do with the spread of this radical Islamic movement and uniting, of course, the Islamic world for a coming conflict with Israel. Avi, thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning from Jerusalem, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and thanks very much for getting up early to be with us. And please tell us what's going on from your point of view, from the point of view of Israel, from the point of view of the Muslim world, and what you think is going to happen, what your wife can tell us from her view.
Well, I appeared in a YouTube, which I did not even make. It was made by a pastor in Pensacola, actually in Milton, Florida. And this is based on information that my wife received. I think you're going to be a little shocked this morning, but it's all part of the fun. Anyway, Rachel picked up a TV show in Egypt on January 19th, 2010. We're talking like just a year ago. And the Egyptian foreign minister, Abul Ghait, was on the roundtable discussion program. And he was just talking very calmly. You know, it wasn't anything like, you know, he was talking like, you know, between buddies. And he said, you know, oh, I had a one-on-one meeting with President Obama. And he swore to me that President Obama swore that he's a Muslim, that his father, his biological father, is a Muslim, Sunni Muslim. His stepfather from Indonesia, Sunni Muslim, that he was raised in a madrasah in Indonesia, learned Arabic, learned the Quran, prayed in a mosque, that his half-brothers in Kenya are Muslims, Sunni Muslims. And he said, I've got some temporary problems in the States, domestic problems, but I promise you, I swear to you, when we finish the health care and other domestic problems in America, I will show the Muslim world what I'm going to do to Israel.
Well, I think that we're seeing the potential because, of course, I believe that this whole revolutionary movement was largely mediated through our intelligence agencies here. They've been financing the Muslim Brotherhood for years. We know the Bank of England's been funneling money to billions of pounds to Lord James, to the terrorists in North Africa. Tunisia's fallen. Sydney, Algiers has fallen. There's trouble in Libya. Egypt has fallen. I believe this is all engineered, and I believe, we're living in dangerous times. We'll be right back with Avi Lifkin. Avi, go ahead, pick the story up.
This is being taped now.
No, you go right ahead. No, we broadcast here. We have a station. Okay. Some are on board, some are not. They'll all be back in 3 minutes. But right now, we keep right on talking because people are out there listening.
Okay, good. I know your show is so popular, and when I heard the music, I said, oh, they're going for a break already. Anyway, so listen. So what happened was, now I'm going to switch gears and come back. You know that President Obama wants to make an amnesty for the 12 million illegals who are presently in the United States. And so, you know, Americans look at things, you know, from a pro and con approach regarding the mostly Latin Americans who are in the United States working very hard to support their families. And, you know, there are pros and cons about an amnesty, and both have valid points. But I come from the Middle East perspective. Now, I was in an eschatology club of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri, and there was a pastor there who spoke a month before I spoke, and he has orphanages and a church in Haiti and in Mexico. So he's a missionary. He's constantly traveling to Haiti and Mexico. And excuse me, after the earthquake in Haiti, he met with a senior United Nations official there, and the senior United Nations official said that he had had, again, there's no reason, there's no ulterior motive here, UN official just saying matter-of-factly that President Obama told him that by the end of his 8 years of presidency, in other words, Obama will be reelected, and by the end of his 8 years, America will be a Muslim country. Okay, now, why does President Obama want the amnesty? Not only does he want the Democratic Party to get the votes of the 12 million people who get American citizenship, you have to understand, and my wife picks this up from her work in the Middle East, here in Jerusalem, that the Muslims are talking constantly that the problem is not Israel. The problem is not settlements. The problem is not a Palestinian state. The problem is the great Christian state in America. America must be conquered, and America must be turned into an Islamic state. How do you do that? You bring in tens of millions of Muslims into the United States. Now, the amnesty question with the Latin Americans is basically, once you finish with this amnesty, you can prepare the way for the next wave of illegal immigrants. And they're coming in from across the Mexican border. They're coming in from Canada. They're coming in legally. By the way, Washington, D.C., the floodgates are open. A lot of Muslims are in control in Washington, D.C., of immigration, of intelligence. That's why American intelligence is so non-existent. You have Muslims working in the CIA.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney is talking about the fact that after we get through granting amnesty to the 12 million Spanish-speaking people living in America today, they're preparing the way then for the next influx of immigrants. And those immigrants will be millions and millions of Muslims. And Barack Obama had told us, somebody, that when he finishes his 8 years at the presidency, America will be a Muslim nation. Now, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, unless, of course, they can bring enough Muslims in legally and grant them voting rights so they can simply vote us into Sharia law. People say that's crazy talk. Well, how many Muslims are you talking about coming to America in this next great flood of immigrants from the Near East and the Middle East?
Okay, now we're going to start going through the numbers. Now, first, let's go back a moment. You've heard, of course, of Michael Medved. I've been on the show many times, and I love Michael Medved. We're great buddies, but we have these almost violent fights about how many Muslims are there in America. And, you know, I say there are 20 million Muslims in America. He says, you're crazy. There are only 2 million Americans, because there are a lot of people who don't want to admit that there are so many Muslims in America. Now, Jimmy Carter, I want to say the stupidest president in American history, but I don't know if he's the stupidest. There's some others, you know, competing with him. And Jimmy Carter, we know, received a lot of money from the Islamic world. Jimmy Carter brought down the Shah of Iran, who was America's number one ally in the Muslim world. And by the way, I'm not against Muslims. Muslims are great people. Muslims can be really allies. You had the Shah of Iran. Who stabbed the Shah of Iran in the back? United States of America and Jimmy Carter. Now, as a result of Jimmy Carter saying, oh, Ayatollah Khomeini is a religious man, and we all pray to the same God, don't we? You know, this is one of the fallacies in the churches today and synagogues. We pray to the same God. And, you know, I get into a lot of trouble. I'm being sued in Switzerland for this. I may go to jail in Switzerland for saying this, but I said Allah is Satan. So if you pray to Satan, is that the same as praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I think it's not. So anyway, so Ayatollah Khomeini serves Satan. Jimmy Carter thinks he's serving Jesus Christ, which is fine. But if you say that somebody who serves Allah is serving the same God as the Jews and the Christians, there's a little problem here. So because of the stupidity of Jimmy Carter, you bring down your ally and friend number one in the Muslim world, the Shah of Iran, and Khomeini comes to power. The first thing they say is death to America, death to Israel, because that's in Islam, to destroy Christian America. And then how many Muslims came to America, Dr. Stan? 9 million Iranians now live in the United States of America. By the way, they were allies. These people would have been killed had they stayed in Iran under Khomeini. So they fled. By the way, you can start thinking about what's about to happen in Egypt. Anyway, so you have 9 million Iranians. The Arab, now Iranians are not Arabs. They're Indo-European Muslims. The Arab Immigrant Association, and the Arabs are Semites. The Arabs claim 7 million in America. So how much is 9 million Iranians and 7 million Arabs? That's 16 million. The black Muslims, and by the way, American jails are perfect breeding grounds for conversion to Islam, you got at least 3 million black Muslims who follow Farrakhan. So right there you have 19 million. And you know, you have all these Somalis, these poor Somalis who've been brought into the United States. So, and you know, only God knows how many Muslims are in America, because there is no census in the United States based on religion. So my contention is, conservatively, that there are now 20 million Muslims in America. Okay, now I will answer your question. Okay. President Obama kills two birds with one stone. The first thing he does, if you overthrow Mubarak, and by the way, Mubarak was no friend of Israel. He worked for the interest of Egypt, and he worked for his own personal interest. But if you overthrow Mubarak, you are opening up the genie's bottle, the genie's lamp, or Pandora's box, whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden, the genie is out, and all of a sudden, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the biggest of all the reformist groups in Egypt. And by the way, Khomeini came to power at the head of many, many different groups that opposed the Shah. He united all the groups. Once Khomeini came to power, he annihilated all the other groups. And by the way, the same situation in Iran today. Anybody who protests will be killed. The Iranian government is killing every Iranian who stands up in protest. Okay. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood keeps pretending that they are not interested in power. And of course, that is all a ploy to let the reformists, the young people, the Twitter people, the Facebook people, overthrow the Mubarak regime. But you still have in Egypt elitist power groups, especially the military, the industries, the rich, influential people. You have out of 86 million people, I would say 4 to 5 million people in Egypt who are totally dedicated to the pyramid of power that existed under Mubarak. Egypt now has lost so much money as a result of the 3 weeks of demonstration. The whole country was shut down. Egypt there basically is going to shut down. They've lost so much business. They've lost billions and billions of dollars. And I don't even know. By the way, there's no food in Egypt. The services have come to a halt. The police are on strike. Many, many services are on strike. I'm just telling you, Egypt today economically is a disaster. They've got their freedom, but there is so much inherent instability as a result. Okay, so the Muslim Brotherhood, they're very smart. You know, they say, oh, we don't want to be in power. We don't want to take over. We want to work with everyone else for democracy. The problem here is the moment the reformist groups get galvanized, the Islamic Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, is going to kill all of these leaders of the reformist groups and make it very clear that if you don't join the Muslim Brotherhood, you're going to be killed, because that's the way Islam functions. The reformist liberal groups are a bunch of useful idiots, and they will be used by the Muslim Brotherhood until the Muslim Brotherhood comes to power. Now, what happens when the Muslim Brotherhood comes to power? The first thing they do is they make a war with Israel, because the Muslim Brotherhood said that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to shut down the Suez Canal, and you can imagine, Dr. Stan, what does that do to the world economy? What does that do? By the way, how do you destroy Christianity? You destroy the economy of Christianity. How do you destroy the economy of Christianity? You block the Suez Canal, or you block the Straits of Hormuz. You prevent the oil. You prevent the products from getting from place to place. The one world government economy is based on open Suez Canal and open Straits of Hormuz. And so if these Muslim Brotherhood people feel we got to destroy Christianity, we got to destroy America, the way to do that is to destroy the economy. The way to do that is to shut the Suez Canal. So they're going to shut the Suez Canal. They're going to try to attack Israel, and there are many ways to do that. They're going to oppose Israel on every front. And this is after Israel was attacked already 5 times by Egypt, in 48, 56, 67, 68 to 70, 73. So, you know, we are no newcomer here in the Middle East to the Muslim hatred of Jews and Israel, and Christians, by the way. You already see what's happening to the Coptic Christian in Egypt. This revolution is going to be very bad for the Coptic Christians in Egypt. And what I'm saying is, if Egypt does go to war against Israel, without getting into specifics, I don't know, maybe you've heard of Ezekiel 28 to chapter 30. You can read that. That's interesting, what God says is going to happen there. But
you're talking about Ezekiel, 28, 29?
And 30, yes. 30, it says very simply that Egypt will be made a desolation all the way to a place called Esayin. I think Esayin is Aswan, by the way, if you get the hint. Israel will not be able to tolerate a 1, 2, 5, or 10 million man march across the Sinai Desert. Israel cannot tolerate that. Israel cannot stop a human wave attack of such dimensions. And so the result will be a desolation in Egypt, which will cause 10, 20, 30 million Egyptians to come to the United States of America. You're asking me, Dr. Stan, about numbers. So I'm telling you, it says also in the Bible that the Egyptians will be scattered to the four corners of the earth. The Egyptians will be scattered to all the nations until they repent for what they did to Israel. That's God's word. It never happened. This never happened before. This is a prophecy somewhere there in the future. I think in the not-too-distant future. Now, What is President Obama accomplished by this revolution in Egypt? Firstly, if he uses the useful idiots as proxies to destroy Israel, then he has kept his promise to Abu Ghraib, which is what I said at the very beginning of the show. Obama's bottom line is to engineer revolutions and instability throughout the Middle East, because in the end, this will bring war with Israel. And, of course, it won't be President Obama who did it with his own hands. Secondly, you're going to have 20, 30, 50, maybe 100 million Muslims moving to America, because there's going to be such starvation, such misery in the Middle East, because of what these revolutions did to their own people. Because, these, as you said very correctly at the beginning of the show, these people have never experienced Jeffersonian democracy. These people only understand authoritarian regimes, whether they are Muslim or whether they are monarchist or whether they are Abdel Nasser or Mubarak type, you know, one-man rule. The fact is you're going to have complete anarchy. You cannot run a country on anarchy. And so the moment you have 100 million or so Muslims moving to the United States, by the way, if 100 million Muslims move to the United States, hey, that's great, that's terrific, because then the United States population goes from 307 million to 407 million. Of course, the American economy will grow unbelievably because of all this influx of people. And, I mean, that's what you think. The Democratic Party is going to shellack the Republicans and the Tea Party because they have all these people coming in voting for the Democrats. And what happens? America becomes Muslim. Give this maybe 10, 20, 30 years. Rachel and I monitor everything they're saying in the Arab world, in the Muslim world, and they're saying it's not going to take more than 20, 30 years to make America Muslim. We could not believe how easy 9/11 was, and we cannot believe how easy it's going to be to take over the Americans. The Americans do not have a clue.
Well, are they actually suggesting that what really happened on 9/11 is what we've been told happened? I mean, certainly many of us here.
Osama bin Laden was saying we could not believe how easy it was for us to attack on 9/11.
Uh huh. Okay, fine. Well,
the Americans did not have a clue.
Well, I think we would disagree on that, but that's all right. I want to know what you think and what you're getting from the Arab press over there, because Avi's wife actually monitors the broadcasts that are going on in the Muslim world. But basically, there's no question. Avi's absolutely right. The people over there are going to end up far worse off than they were under the corrupt regime of Mubarak and the others, as certainly as the Islamic Brotherhood brings down their iron fists. Avi, go ahead and pick the story up there. Well,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. the Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Nuclear tip missiles. The missiles have been provided by the Chinese communists, and certainly, but the nuclear warheads have been provided by the Pakistanis, because of course Saudi Arabia financed Pakistan's acquisition of the ability to build a nuclear weapon. So, well, what's going to happen to those nuclear weapons?
Well, that's anybody's guess. The point I'm saying is this has been going on for over 20 years now. Respective Democratic and Republican administrations have ignored it. No, it's such an embarrassment that now nobody talks about it. And, of course, you never dare, Dr. Stan, you never dare to criticize Saudi Arabia in Washington, D.C. And because, you know, Saudi Arabia is our friend. Saudi Arabia is part of the solution. Now, Saudi Arabia is not part of the solution. Saudi Arabia is part of the problem. And all these fanatic terrorists that you find in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, all these Taliban guys, they're Saudis. And what happens is in Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi educational system, which, by the way, is now already in the United States of America, all these Islamic schools are funded by the Saudis, preaching that the Jews and the Christians are monkeys and pigs, from the Quran, chapter 5, verse 60. So the Saudis, they're not part of the solution, they're part of the problem. When you grow up in Saudi Arabia and say, hey, this Wahhabi stuff is great, let's kill the Jew, let's kill the Christian, and then these people become really, really extremist, then the Saudi government says, well, you know what? Okay, you want to be terrorist, that's fine, but you're not going to be terrorist in Saudi Arabia. You want to be terrorist, why don't you just go off to Afghanistan and blow yourself up? And that's what the Saudi young people do. And so Saudi Arabia trains people to be Taliban and crazy terrorists. Then when they become a little too extreme, they send them to Pakistan. But I have news for you. A lot of these people are coming back. They're coming back to Saudi Arabia. That's why the Saudi regime is going to be overthrown, because the you see, the thing is this: the Saudis are two timers. The Saudis, on the one hand, train their kids to be fanatic Wahhabi Muslims. On the other hand, guess what? They sell the great Christian Satan oil. You know, the Western Christianity cannot survive without a strong Western Christian economy, which is the European and American economies. And these economies cannot survive without petroleum. You cannot make plastic without petroleum, even if you have solar energy and nuclear energy. You need petroleum as a raw material for plastic. So the Saudis are actually collaborators and traitors to Islam, because it is the Saudis who facilitate the existence of the one-world economy.
In fact, so, they are buying a lot of our bonds, you know. Suddenly they get all this money, and then they turn around and they invest it in T-bonds. If they ever stop buying T-bonds, we'll be in real trouble here.
Well, of course, the Saudis, not only the Saudis, this entire petrochemical Islamic world, and also, of course, the communist Chinese. So what you have here is you have the fanatic Saudi Sunni educational system, which, by the way, has succeeded very well in Pakistan. And, of course, in Pakistan, if you become a Christian, you must be killed. I don't want to say about Jews. There are no Jews. Isn't it interesting that there are no Jews in Islamic countries? You know, the Jew is absolutely the most hated and despised creature on the face of the earth, according to Allah, who is, like I said before, is Satan the devil. I mean, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if I understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob correctly, he loves the Jews. The Jews are the apple of his eye. He loves the Christians. Why would he have grafted the Christians into the Jews, Romans 9 to 11, if he hated the Jews and the Christians? You know, Jews and Christians are one family. My wife taught me this the first day I met her. The Jews and the Christians are the Ahel el-Kitab in Arabic. We are the people of the book. The only difference between Jews and Christians is Jews keep the Sabbath on Saturday and Christians keep the Sabbath on Sunday. Therefore, the Muslims say, so kill the Jew on Saturday and kill the Christian on Sunday. But the point is, Jews and Christians are one in the eyes of Islam. And so in Pakistan, at least Christians are slightly tolerated, not very much. In Egypt, the Coptic Christians are slightly tolerated, not very much. In Lebanon, in Sudan, only 2 million Christians were killed in the last 20 years in Sudan, and nobody says anything about it. So, I'm just saying there's a problem, very, very basic problem here with the Sunni Islam, which, as you said correctly, controls Pakistan. The insanity of Islam controls Pakistan. The insanity of Islam controls Turkey, and now it controls Egypt, too, and Saudi Arabia and these other countries. Now, the other threat is from Shiite Islam. The Shiite want to prove to the Islamic world that they are holier and purer than the Sunnis, who do business with the West and are therefore traders and collaborators. And we're talking now about something called the Shiite Crescent. The Shiite Crescent meaning Iran, but not only Iran, Iran, Iraq, because President George W. Bush created the second Shiite state, which is Iraq. Jimmy Carter created the first Shiite state, which is Iran. So if Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Bahrain, Syria, and Lebanon are all Shiite countries, and they want to show that they can out-hate the Jews and Christians even more than the Sunnis do.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Harvey Lipkin. Sydney, I agree with your basic thesis. How soon do you think that this is going to come to some sort of a crisis where there will be serious talk of war? It'll take a while to consolidate the situation in all of these countries and to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to power. What do you foresee 6 months, a year, 2 years before the situation gets to the point where they are going to be organized enough to move against Israel? And can Israel wait for this to happen?
Well, the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood was saying that they are not going to do anything radical, at least until the elections in September. So we're talking about 6 months. After the elections, it's anybody's guess. Like I said before, if the Muslim Brotherhood starts to annihilate the other reformist groups so that they are the only ones in power, which is the nature of Islam to do, then, of course, there is no Jeffersonian democracy in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood takes over. And then the question is, how long will it be before they decide to declare war on Israel and come across Sinai? Again, the wild card here, as I said before, is that the Egyptian economy is spiraling downward now. By the way, Mubarak, with all his faults, kept the peace agreement with Israel because he understood that the peace agreement, it wasn't because he loved Israel or the Jews. He didn't. The peace agreement was strategically important for Egypt because it brought investment. And Mubarak did a very remarkable job modernizing the Egyptian economy. But like I said before, the genie is out of the bag. The elite groups that have brought this miracle, this economic miracle to Egypt, these elite groups are now threatened with being jailed and overthrown by the people. In other words, we're talking about complete anarchy. When you have a complete anarchy, then the Egyptian economy collapses. When the Egyptian economy collapses and you have starvation, you have food riots in the streets, then we might not be waiting 6 months.
All right. Well, certainly, I think that the price of food is going to be going up around the world. Many, many factors in that, but I think that there will be food shortages, and not only in Egypt, but in many areas of the world. We'll be back in just a moment with Avi Lipkin as we try to get an overview and a feel for what's going on today. Well, Avi, go ahead and pick up the story. And basically, Avi was simply saying that ordinarily, why the Muslim Brotherhood has said it's not going to do anything for 6 months until the elections. But what will happen, of course, if the structure of society breaks down? What happens if the rising food prices bring food riots? What about if there's food shortages? The people will be out in the streets demanding food, and there won't be any food because the food will be going to the places where the people can afford it. Certainly the massive drought in communist China, the massive flooding in Australia, the wheat rust in Africa and certainly in Asia. The problem is that harvesting our crops here in the United States because of the unusually cold winter. The increasing shortage of course, of fruits and vegetables in many parts of the world, certainly in Mexico, and certainly the death of the fruit trees in Florida, unusual times. And certainly if you go up on many of the websites, deal with frozen food or freeze-dried food, and you'll find item after item after item no longer available, shortage, temporary delays. Never seen anything like it before. The food is going to be increasingly limited. There are going to be food shortages here, I believe, later this year. I believe, of course, price is going to go up. You can get food if you have the money. But I think we're laying ourselves open for very difficult times. Please go ahead, Avi.
Okay, well, with your permission, Dr. Stan, I want to, again, go back a little before we spoke about Iran. So I went back to 79, but I want to go back to the beginning of the economic crisis just like 3-4 years ago. And you have to understand something. You have a satanic approach of Islam, which says the way to destroy Christianity, which is the ultimate goal of Islam, is to destroy the economy. How do you destroy the economy of the great Christian state in America? Firstly, destroy the economy of the great Christian state in America. You have to destroy the economy of the world. Because as Hillary Clinton did correctly say in her book, The Global Village, the world is a global economy. So if America goes down, the world goes down. By the way, if Greece goes down, then the European Union goes down, or Portugal goes down, or any of these European countries that are failing. So the European Union goes down, the world goes down. If China goes down, the world goes down. You know, all the world economy is completely interlinked. Any hole in the ship brings the whole ship down. Now, Ahmadinejad wrote a doctoral thesis. You know, he's crazy, but he's not stupid. He wrote a doctoral thesis saying that the way to destroy the world economy is oil at $147 a barrel. And he achieved it. Part of OPEC. They forced the prices up, if you remember. You know, President Clinton, I almost forgot his name. President Clinton, you know the story about President Clinton. When he had the Monica Lewinsky affair, he needed a miracle to save himself, not only, you know, from being impeached, he needed a miracle not to go to jail. So what did he do? He went to Saudi Arabia, and the price of oil went from $18 a barrel down to $8 a barrel. I don't know if you remember that. In the winter of 1999, I'm a traveling preacher, you know, so I remember the price of gasoline everywhere I go. I filled up with gas in Savannah, Georgia, at 69 cents a gallon. And, you know, it didn't make any sense because my Christian oil people in Texas told me that for less than $18 a barrel, it doesn't pay to take the oil out from under the ground. And, but, you know, for the Saudis, they don't care. Clinton went, made a deal with them. He destroyed many of the independent oil drillers in America because, like I said, for $8 a barrel, if it costs $18, you're going crazy. You're going to be crazy to work to pump the oil out. So a lot of people went bankrupt. A few months later, after the impeachment was overthrown in the Senate, you know, because everybody was so happy with President Clinton that the impeachment was overthrown, and he completed his second term, never went to jail, in spite of him deserving to go to jail. You know what happened? The moment the impeachment was overthrown, the price of oil went from $8 to $32 a barrel. And that's because of the manipulation of the prices between the Saudis and President Clinton. He made a deal with the devil. From $32, it went up to $50 to $70 to $100 to $147. And then you had the crash of the American economy 4 years ago. You know, don't blame Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Madoff and all these. I mean, every economy has these things happening. But again, by the way, if I as a preacher traveling around the U.S., people could not afford to go to church. People could not afford the gasoline to drive half an hour each way to go to church. People were buying less books that I wrote, less CDs and DVDs. People just did not have the money because the money was going to pay for heating in their homes and for gasoline. And as you said correctly, the price of food started to go up. The Muslims did not realize that by bringing the price up to $147 a barrel, they are now causing the production of the food and the production of everything the world needs to go up because everything is based on petroleum. And so what happened was you had the major collapse of the American economy. Wall Street went down, you know, from almost 12,000 to 6,000. And by the way, and the collapse of the banks and the foreclosures of homes. And, you know, everybody, the Democrats blame the Republicans. The Republicans blame the Democrats. And I'm saying, you know, Americans don't have a clue. The cause for the collapse of the economy at the end of Bush's 8 years was not Bush or the Republicans or the Democrats. The problem was $147 a barrel, which bankrupted and sucked, you know, the world economy, sucked out all the oxygen. You know, cash is oxygen. All this cash is going in one direction to the Arabs and the Chinese. And so is it any wonder that the world economy, you know, collapses? So now, as you said, Dr. Stan, very correctly, we are looking at the repercussions of, and we are now hovering again at $100 a barrel. And so in the end, who's going to pay? The poor and the hungry. Because as you said, people who have money will still be able to buy food, even though it'll be less available. But the point is, when you make the raw material, such as petroleum, so expensive, and everything is based on that raw material for electricity, you know, for gasoline, for plastic, and for even the food production itself, and then you have these natural disasters, which I also believe are part of the God's anger at certain countries who are doing things against Israel and against God. So I think we're, Dr. Stan, I think we're in a time of judgment now, and I think it's very important for the American people to understand what is Islam. Americans don't have a clue. And I have a website, VicMord.com. You know, if you remember, my pen name is Victor Mordecai. So VicMord, VicMord.com. People can also order my books from the 800 number, 1-800-540-0828. And people need to get the 5 books. I've done a lot of CDs and DVDs. I've done many of them with the Koinonia House and Chuck Missler. And we're talking about 20, 30 hours of books information, 20, 30 hours of CD, DVD information. People have to get this information because I've been documenting this progression, or how shall I say, this degression in the world economy and in the situation that's going on in the world as a result of Islamic attempts to destroy the economy. Because on the one hand, they're fueling the economy with oil. On the other hand, they're attacking it because that's what made Christianity the ruling power in the world today.
And so you foresee, in perhaps not too distant future, 6 months, a year, closing the Suez Canal and or the Straits of Hormuz to strangle the world economy in an effort, even though it will hurt the Arab world, it will destroy the great Satan. Is this your thesis?
Yes, and let me add another thing, because until now we were focusing pretty much on the Sunnis, and we're focusing pretty much on what's happening in Egypt right now. But I don't know. Tell me, sir, this is in the media, of course, here in Israel. I don't know if they've been covering this in the American media, but you know that the Iranians sent frigates, and across the Suez Canal, and they are now sailing off the coast of Israel in the direction of Beirut and later to Syria. You know, this is like a provocation against Israel.
Oh, I know.
Huh?
Yes, we had heard that and wondered if they did they get through the Suez Canal yet?
Yes, they went through the Suez Canal. But the point I'm trying to say, sir, is that the Iranians are now having their own demonstrations in the streets. When you are leading a government, which is under extreme pressure from the United States and world sanctions, and even the Iranian people now are rising up against the regime, and of course Obama's ploy is to overthrow the Iranian regime without getting America directly involved, because that was the mistake that George W. Bush did with Iraq and Afghanistan. So Obama is a pacifist. He doesn't want to send American troops to overthrow the Iranian regime, which I personally think is what must happen. He wants to let the Iranian people do it themselves, and it's very hard to do that because you have 120,000 Revolutionary Guards who are really Gestapo, and they'll just kill everybody. But the point I'm saying is, to deflect attention away from Iran, what do? You cause your proxies to go to war against Israel. Who are the proxies? You have the Hamas in Gaza, you have the Hezbollah in Lebanon, and you have the Syrian government. You spark a war in which these proxies get destroyed, and Iran is basically spared the wrath of the world because everybody's looking at how terrible Israel is. So if these two ships that are going to Lebanon and to Syria, let's say the two ships have taken a suicide oath and said, we're going to start launching missiles at Israel right off the coast. It's going to be very hard for Israel to deflect those missiles. The two ships will be destroyed if this happens. And if the two ships attack Israel, get destroyed, then Hezbollah will start raining missiles on Israel. Israel has said that it will counterattack, including attacking Damascus. So Damascus will get into the war. Dr. Stan, I'm very afraid to tell you. I mean, I pray to God I'm wrong about this. This is just a scenario that is a possibility as I see it. But we might not be waiting 6 months, sir. We may be seeing something happen.
Well, let's hope and pray. This is just more bluster than anything else, Sidney. I would hate to see anything happen at this time. The world is just too much in turmoil, I would think, for the Iranians to really try to get into a war. I think right now, I hope, that they're going to be more concerned about their survival than they are about attacking Israel.
By the way, one more point also, that most Americans have never heard of the Straits of Hormuz. But the Straits of Hormuz are a very, very narrow waterway, which Iran theoretically could shut if they wanted to. And all this oil that comes out of the Persian Gulf region, they go through the Straits of Hormuz. So if the Iranians, in an apocalyptic manner, say, okay, we'll shut the Suez Canal, we'll shut the Straits of Hormuz, we will have our proxies, Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the Syrians, go to war with Israel, so that Iran will be spared the wrath of the world. And, of course, everybody will jump on Israel in case there's such a war. So, you know, and they did it before. If you remember, there was this war in Lebanon in 2006, and this happened because they, you know, kidnapped three Israeli soldiers. All of this is planned from Tehran, from Iran.
How is the economy doing over in Israel? How do the Israeli people feel? Or do they realize the seriousness of the problem? I mean, we hear reports over there that there's been a major reshuffle in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. Certainly the man, I've forgotten his name, anyway, the Ashkenazi, who was the commander, has been relieved of command. The second command, ordinary second in command, was not appointed. Now the third man down the line is taking over and totally shifting the construction of the Israeli government the Israeli military, because now of the increasing possibility of a threat from Egypt. In other words, they haven't been concerned about that before. Now they're going to have to realign everything. Is that correct?
Well, of course. You have raised two different issues, sir. You have mentioned the military and you've mentioned the economy. First, the economy is actually sparkling. We have had a 6% growth rate in the last quarter. The Israeli economists were shocked how well the Israeli economy is doing. And you have to remember, Israel is linked, connected at the hip with the United States, with the world economy. You've got people like Warren Buffett who come in one shot and buy up Steph Wertheimer's ISCAR blades for $4 billion. You have Intel spending billions of dollars to develop their Israeli infrastructure. I heard last night that there are 300 Israelis who will be going to the Portland area to work with Intel there. I mean, we're talking really about an economy that is very high-tech, very based on interrelationships with the West. And we have a very high-quality population here as far as high-tech. There are, of course, pockets of poverty, but our unemployment rate is before the economic crisis of 4 or 5 years ago. So the Israeli economy is doing extremely well. Like I said, there are people who are poor, but in every country you've got people who don't fit into the growing economy, and they're unemployed and whatever. But Israel, I mean, when you think for a moment, we are at war with all these crazy neighbors, and yet our economy is doing so well. I think maybe God is also part of that. But regarding the military, there should be no doubt here, in spite of what we call the wars of the generals, that our top generals, our top officers, are all battle-tested, nose-to-the-ground officers. They're men of the people. And in spite of whatever scandals you might hear of in the media about this guy took a few more acres of land than he should have, but, you know, as far as war goes and as far as the commanding, you know, and knowing their work, they're good officers. My only complaint about the Israeli military and the Israeli strategic overview is that to move ahead in the Israeli army, you have to be politically correct. Political correctness means left, not right wing. People like me, of course, would never be recommended to move ahead in the Israeli army. I was fired from the prime minister's office because I was a member of the Likud. They said, we know your political views. I went to seminary. I was thrown out of seminary. We know your political views. I was court-martialed during the Rabin assassination. I was acting as a rabbi in Pennsylvania. I had nothing to do with anything, but there were some communist people in the town where I was in Pennsylvania who knew my commander and said that I was left-wing, that I was right-wing. So Israel is controlled by certain left-wing power elites, and in the Israeli army, if you look at Islam as an enemy, you will not be promoted. So we, even here in Israel, we have a problem where our elites in the military are not preparing for war. They're preparing for peace. And so when you have the overthrow of the Mubarak regime, all of a sudden, 30 years of peace with Egypt goes out the window, and, you know, we have a chicken wire fence as a border with Egypt. People can come across, and they do come across very, very easily because there's no physical obstacle to stop people from coming over. We have, I don't want to say thousands, but we have hundreds of refugees crossing the Sinai, smuggling themselves into Israel, people from Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, other countries in Africa. They risk death from starvation and dehydration in the desert. They risk death from being shot at by the Egyptian army as they try to smuggle themselves into Israel. And we have now tens of thousands of illegal people from Africa who know that in Israel they will be treated well because of the growing economy, and basically Jews are not bad people. And so we don't have any physical obstacle separating between us and Egypt. Well, and it's going to take at least a year, 2 years to build up some kind of a wall. And, you know, walls do not help in case of a war.
Well, so, is there a danger to Israel from the exploding population of the Arab Israelis and the Orthodox Jews who really don't?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Our number, 1-800-544-927. But our shortwave is really our largest expenditure, although keeping our programs on stations across America is a very expensive proposition. On the other hand, we're reaching people who are hearing information they have never heard before. So if you're in a position to help, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Once again, let me remind you that if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you have not heard my talk on the Forbidden Secret, or on the Dark Secret, two separate talks. There's syllabuses, both of them, why you need to get the information. Because if you do not understand the spiritual forces at work, you cannot understand the temporal forces at work. So give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Two excellent weapons. One, Cancer, The Forbidden Cures. It's a DVD. You have the producer's permission to copy it. And it is simply pointing out there are lots of many effective treatments for cancer that are being actively suppressed and people are dying unnecessarily. And, of course, to go along with that, you can get the transcript of the tape set or the tape set and the transcript on The New Order of the Barbarians, where you'll hear the remarks of Dr. Dennegan, who had heard Dr. Richard Day talk about the fact that there were treatments for cancer back in 1969 that were being suppressed at that time because there are too many people in the world and they're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. Could anybody be that crass and indifferent to human suffering? And the answer is absolutely yes. Go up on our website. We actually have an article out of the Congressional Record that go back, I think, of the 1950s and 1960s, telling exactly the same story. Totally suppressed. In fact, nobody could get this article of the Congressional Record. We were lucky to track it down. And then, of course, we do hope you'll certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 9 hours a day. Of course, you won't get much accomplished, but you'll sure learn a lot. And, of course, we do hope that you will certainly want to get some of the items we carry. Certainly, we carry the Miracle-Dew soap products. We carry the Berkey water products. We'll be carrying a new unit. It's called the Total Home filter unit, and it'll take the fluoride and the aluminum out of your water so you can shower and certainly bathe without danger of absorbing fluoride. And aluminum does a great job with all the heavy metals, chloride, and it's it is a much more economical to operate than any of the other units we've been able to find, and it does a better job. That's the Total Home filtration unit. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927 if you have any question on that or so many other issues. And certainly you do need, of course, home health products for the difficult times that lie ahead. You should be laying out a supply of long-term storage fluid. And if you want our suggestions for the home filters, something like a Berkey filter, health products, and certainly a long-term storage food, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for certainly the other Christian ministries that are out there, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show.